Our epistle reading this morning comes from the letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. You can find this on pages 1817 and 1818 in the Pew Bible. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The wise men sometimes get a bit of a bum deal when it comes to the Christmas story. They just sort of get an aside at the end of it. Oh, and by the way, some smart guys from the East came too with a few strange presents for the baby. That's not exactly how it's told in the Gospel of Matthew, but that's sort of how it gets tacked on in many retellings of the story. The wise men aren't even mentioned in Mark, Luke, or John, but they do get a full 12 verses in Matthew. And while we generally put them up in the Nativity at Christmas because it makes more sense logistically, they were almost certainly there well after the shepherds had left. Some speculate they visited the family when Jesus was at least a year or two old. Historically, the church commemorates the wise men on the 6th of January, 12 days after Christmas. This is traditionally called Epiphany, and this is where we get the idea of the 12 days of Christmas. It's the official end to the season of Christmastide. It's the day where we celebrate the fact that in Jesus, God came to humanity, not just for a few people, but for all people. The shepherds, who were from right down the road in Bethlehem, represent God revealing Jesus to the chosen people of Israel. The wise men, from very far away, represent God revealing Jesus to all the rest of the people, including us. Our passages from the introductions to the Gospel of John and the letter to the Ephesians are both songs of praise about God's great, saving, transforming grace revealed to the world in Jesus. They are songs of Epiphany. These passages are both thought to be hymns or poems of some sort from the early church that were used in the Gospel writing. And as we've talked about recently, hymns in church use are designed to carry theology with them. They're written in a way that can get important information like the gospel out to as many people as possible in a memorable way. And the two passages we read have another thing in common as well. They're both about the blessing of God's grace in Jesus. My mom used to make me write thank you cards for everything. Birthdays, Christmas, you name it. And I grumbled as a kid when she made me do it, but the truth be told, I actually kind of enjoyed it. I still do. There's something honest and gritty and strengthening and relationship building about saying, you did something nice for me, and I need you in my life. No matter how large or small the gift is. Paul's letter to the Ephesians opens as a sort of thank you card to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Thanks be to God. Blessed be God's name for blessing us with tons of blessings. Whether it's a formal hymn that the church used or if it's just Paul waxing poetic about how great God is, it's a song of praise. It's more than just a flowery introduction paragraph to a letter. Similarly, the introductory verses of the Gospel of John are more than just the beginning of the story. They say far more than simply once upon a time. They're a song of praise. There's wonder in the passage. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there before creation. What a blessing, what grace, what love from God that the Word, Jesus Christ, came to earth, completely God, completely human, for us. We have a hymn of thanks and praise that we sing every week in our liturgy as well. If we were to write the Gospel of Liberty Presbyterian Church, we might use it as our introductory paragraph. Just like Paul and John make a point to include thanksgiving in a prominent place in the Gospel and in the letter, we make a point to include thanksgiving in a prominent place in our worship. Each week, as a thankful act of praise in response to the scriptures read and the word proclaimed, we join together in a hymn of praise. And then we share our monetary offerings to God. The first thing we do as a congregation in response to the scripture and the sermon is to share our physical resources with the church so that we can help those in need, so that we can keep the lights on and the bills paid, reach out to those who are struggling. In our gratefulness, we remember all that we have is given by God. And then, before we pray over the offerings to dedicate them, we sing the doxology, our song of praise. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We call it the doxology, as though that were simply the title of a song, but in reality, doxology is a general term. According to the Concise Oxford English Dictionary, we all know how much I like my dictionaries and highlighters, doxology is a liturgical formula of praise to God. Doxology is any time we come together as a community and praise God and thank God. You could call the introductions to John and Ephesians doxologies. It's a formal thanks and praise in the context of the church community. They're grateful responses of praise in the community of believers. And Paul lists many things to be thankful for in Ephesians. God has blessed, chosen, destined, bestowed, lavished, made known, gathered up. And it's not because we're some sort of superstar, awesome, perfect people either. God stretches out a hand to us when we're at the lowest of low and lifts us up. And our saying thank you for that with our words, our doxology, is important. But it can't end there. That has to be accompanied by our physical gifts, our gifts of our time and our talent. After the doxology and the prayer of dedication and thanksgiving, we celebrate communion if it's the first Sunday of the month, And with or without communion, we end the service with another song of praise, and then the section of the service that's generally called the sending. This is where we as a congregation are sent outside into the world to be the light, to carry the message of grace to the people outside the doors of this building. It's where we acknowledge that this message, the word that we celebrate, is not just for us. It's for all who will hear it. And out of our gratitude that we have heard it, we carry it out into the world around us so that others too may hear this good news that grace has been given. It is our act of doxology to continue forward throughout the week. Sometimes we're given a gift so overwhelming that a thank you card seems like a silly, insignificant gesture. But we send it anyway. Part of what makes a gift is the acknowledgement that it was not required. Nobody has to give anyone gifts for Christmas or for birthdays, but we do it anyway, because if we were obliged to give, they wouldn't really be gifts. They would be some sort of tax or toll. God didn't give Jesus because God had to give Jesus. Grace in Christ, our salvation, our opportunity to be in relationship with the living, reigning, saving God of all is a gift that is given freely and to all who will receive it. We are winding down the Christmas season. Tomorrow we will take down the decorations. Christmas officially ends on Wednesday, and most people are starting to take down their decorations in their houses. But that doesn't mean that God's work through Jesus ends. It's not the end of the Christmas story. It's just the beginning of the story. This is the part where we take the gratitude for the gift we've been given and we respond. This is where we sing a doxology, a song of praise as a community in response to the gift of grace. Amen.